Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, a new Saturday Night Live exhibit is now open at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. The exhibit celebrates the 40-plus years of the late-night comedy show. It'll feature memorable sketches, real props and costumes and sets, as well as other tributes to the show. The exhibit was created by the producers at SNL for a run in New York City, and now it's here in Chicago. And if it's an authentic SNL exhibit, it will have to feature the Sweeney sisters.
I'm Candy Sweeney.
And I'm Liz Sweeney.
And we're the Sweeney sisters. Oh, and you know what? I'm going to break a little rule here. I'm going to break a little rule because somebody very special from our industry is here tonight, and we consider him a member of the family. Paul Simon. Right there. Paul Simon. You know, we couldn't resist cooking up a little something for you, Paul.
And I gotta confess, we're not gourmets.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Oh, oh, oh. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Chilton Joe has left and gone away. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, 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 hey. You know, Paul has been so busy lately, hasn't he, Liz?
Yes,
oh, all over the world, making the albums and everything. And you know what? We've got one thing to say to you, Paul.
Slow down. You're moving too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just picking down the cobblestones. Scrimmity-dee-dee, feeling groovy.
Hey, where are we going to see Paul next?
Who knows?
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
That sketch was one of the more popular ones from the mid-80s, and it featured Jan Hooks and Chicagoan Nora Dunn. Dunn grew up on the West Side and was an SNL cast member from 1985 to 1990. She's also made a name for herself in films like Working Girl, Pineapple Express, and Entourage, as well as several TV shows. And she's been on stage with her one-woman show, Mythical Proportions, touring it all over, including right here in town. Dunn currently lives in Chicago, and she is my guest tonight at the big table. Nora Dunn, welcome to the Download.
Is that me? Thank you.
That is you.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Are you excited that an exhibit that you are part of a show is here in town for people to see?
Yes, I am. It kind of feels like a part of the Smithsonian is in Chicago now. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those, especially the early costumes, because let's face it, the first cast was the most iconic, and to see the bees and the cone heads, the real thing. It's exciting even for me because I used to see them in the studio.
Right.
And plus that wardrobe department, I was back there for the 40th, and a lot of that stuff is still crammed in back there.
It's still the same studio, right?
Yeah, it's like an attic.
Chicago is having a lot. There's a lot of fanfare for this because people really enjoyed the show. You know, when you think about all the people that are going to go through there and they're going to see work that you were involved in, see your face, see you as part of it. I mean, what are the feelings that this iconic show that you were part of is on display in a museum?
It's always going to be a part of my life. I mean, I'd say almost every day someone looks at me and says Saturday Night Live for some reason. But I think that, I really sometimes have to sit down and think about it because it is a big deal. It's still a big deal. Even though before I was on the show, it wasn't my goal to get there necessarily. I never thought of that for myself. But I remember the first time I walked into the studio, it was overwhelming because of the first cast, because that's the first thing I saw on TV that was like, oh, that's the sense of humor my brothers have. That came out of my neighborhood, my family. So that means a lot to me that I followed that.
Your career, and it's amazing. What I found myself gravitating to when doing the research to get ready for this was all pre-SNL. Your work in San Francisco, but also here in Chicago. You had such a, and we'll talk about it in this hour, but it's amazing to think that you were on stage in early 80s doing characters.
70s.
Doing everything that would get you ready for an SNL.
Yeah.
Yet that wasn't your goal.
Well, because I just didn't, I don't know. I didn't. I think like everybody else, everybody thinks, oh, this is the last year. This is the last cast. The cast was Marty Short. I didn't think that Lorne was going to come back. I thought, well, those guys are going to be on forever because they were great.
Right.
So it was a fluke. The whole thing was a fluke. I wanted to go to New York And I was lucky enough to have been moved to San Francisco because I couldn't handle L.A., so I went up there, and comedy was the thing. I was studying acting, and that's before Robin was on Mork and Mindy. He was a mentor to all of us.
Robin Williams, he
was the most positive person I've ever met and a supportive person of everybody. And, you know, Dana Carvey was there. Dennis Miller was there, A. Whitney Brown. I started at the same exact place Ellen DeGeneres did. And she used to sing songs at the piano. And it was like, it was a little mecca.
It's one that's known. I mean, I've done comedy in my life, and I know of that scene in San Francisco. And take us as coffee shop and this idea of just performers getting on stage. When you were a part of that, when you were young and you were getting on stage and trying out different monologues, did you know it was special? Did you know that you guys had something there that wasn't necessarily everywhere?
I mean, I remember the first time I saw Dana Carvey, and that's when I thought, this is special, because Dana was very, very much like Robin Williams in that he would just spew out these characters, but he did more with them. He had stories connected to them where Robin would just come out. And I think it was the other cafe. It became more and more hard to get on stage because I remember going in there, I'm going to be on after three people, and Paula Poundstone would walk in. Well, I'm not going on. Robin Williams would walk in. I actually invited him to come and work with me one night because I was hosting something, and he did. And he and I were on stage together for like an hour. And then he ran out. He literally just ran out of the place. And I couldn't believe I survived up there with him.
When you think about the different experiences you've had in your career, whether it be the work you did pre-Saturday Night Live, and then also the work you've done in Hollywood since, do you think in fondness of that time in San Francisco or even the time in Chicago? I mean, is that what lights you up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to say my work ethic isn't the same now because I consider myself kind of, you know, I work and I don't really have to work as much as but I started working when I was selling magazines when I was 14, so I've been working my whole life. But, you know, when I started doing comedy, I worked at least five nights a week, and I worked during the day. I worked at a restaurant where a lot of comedians work. We kind of figured it all out. So I was just working all the time, and that's where I took those characters to Saturday Night Live that I created.
And you were doing characters and monologues, and you also were kind of traveling with stand-ups.
Yeah.
In the way that, you know,
God.
Bobby Slayton. Right,
Bobby. I had to open for him, and he'd look at me and go, cold, cold. I go, and I get on stage, and the room is cold. You're opening for me. Oh, I'm going to.
Was it hard for
you? I wasn't an opener.
Yeah, but I was going to say, being a little bit avant-garde in the way that you're doing monologues and characters, did that set you back at all in the way that, you know, there wasn't a space for that?
Yeah, because I wasn't a joke teller. And you couldn't move up into like a middle until you could open for somebody. And Slayton is, I mean, the guy was, he's a great comedian. And then he turns out to be a great actor, you know. But, you know, he'd go, don't you get some drug joke. Just get something. Because we're in Reno. What do you get? I go, I'm sorry. I do character. I'm trying to think of something funny.
Well, it worked out for you. Nora Dunn is in studio tonight, the actress, comedian, writer. And also, of course, former SNL cast member. We're talking with her, the SNL exhibits at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Nora Dunn at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Nora Dunn in studio at the big table. She, of course, actor, writer, comedian, a long time in Hollywood, here in Chicago. Now you live in Chicago. I want to get to that. But you grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
You grew up on the west side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Talk about your family, because Kevin Dunn, of course, your brother is famous. He's on Veep. You have art and show in your blood.
Yeah. My dad was in community theater, so we used to come down and see him at the theater on the lake, the Round there. And I didn't know. I thought it was Broadway. I thought my dad was a huge star, you know. He's in The Remarkable Mr. Pennypacker, you know. So, you know, I knew of that stuff. And my brother, you know, he worked as an equity actor in Chicago and had his own acting company. And I had left. And I was studying, and I ended up doing comedy and doing the kind of, you know, stuff that fit into the sketch world, more or less. And of course, he became a legitimate actor.
But it wasn't theater that you started. You were in painting.
Yeah.
Talk about the idea of the artistic endeavors that you started with.
Well, I went to the Art Institute, but I didn't do well there because I had come out of Catholic schools where, you know, the bell rang, the teacher was there. The teacher wasn't necessarily there. At the Art Institute.
You're
supposed to go and paint and stuff, and then the teacher might show up and say something. I mean, the sketch classes, the anatomy and all that I like, but I was kind of lost there. But I went there for almost 3 years, and I'm still painting today. I'm still a painter, but I'm glad I didn't take that route because
what made you transition? What was it about the written word or acting that grabbed your attention?
It wasn't until I went out to California and then I was studying various things, writing, and then I just settled on acting. And I did theater, but there wasn't enough theater in San Francisco. And so I was writing my own monologues, and that's how I started getting up on stage thinking, well, I could be seen for other reasons.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a stand-up, as I say. I did improvisation, too. I work with a few groups doing that, which all of that stuff and everything that I did on Saturday Night Live and anybody who's on Saturday Night Live, thinking on your feet, it really, really helps you as an actor. Especially, I did a movie this summer with Ed Helms, John Hamm, and Jake Johnson. Hilarious. It's going to be a funny movie. But they expected me to just, we're not going to use the script on this one. Just
go.
Yeah. And I can do that now because I've done that. But a lot of actors don't do that because they study their script, they study their character. So I was like, well, I'm kind of happy with the script. But then it was more fun, and then we kept finding stuff, and those guys are tough.
You have done a tremendous amount of comedy in your life, and you've done it for SNL, of course, but all the movies. But you started a little bit more in theater as a dramatic actor. You know, even that experience of working where they're like, improvise, you kind of feel like, well, you were on SNL, you do your thing. How much of the expectations that you are a comedian and comedian only because of that experience you had being in front of us on SNL?
Well, I didn't realize for a while that I was never getting cast, not even been able to read for a drama. No one would even read for that. They just assumed that people who do improv and stuff, they haven't studied acting, they don't know what they're doing. And I didn't really realize that. And then it was Jonathan Demme hired me for a movie he was producing, and it was a totally straight role. It was one of Alec Baldwin's first movies, too. And then I started using those little roles to try to get drama. And now I don't really want to do drama.
You're done with the drama.
I just like, I like being funny. It's lighter. It's an escape. It's more fun to play a character that's comedic.
It's hard always to ask a comedian or a writer or actor this, but how would you classify your humor? Where do you find yourself? Are you a more written kind of comedian? Are you someone who's physical? Where do you see the strength of Nora Dunn?
I'm a writer, so I write my material. You know, I don't have enough confidence, I think, that a lot of people have just to get up there and go. And there are a lot of people who can do that. And a couple times I've had to do it, and then I'm shocked that it worked. In fact, I was out in L.A., and I got invited to do this show, and a friend of mine said, it's going to be fun. Well, I'm there with a lot of starters in that room. It was the Ice House, I think. And they go, we have a person here tonight. And I'm going on first. And she goes, and we're only 8 minutes. And I'm like, so I get up, they go, last time I had to go on first and do 8 minutes was in, 1976, folks. And I was planning on doing it, but I just didn't do it. I talked about, we had to talk about dates or something. And I did. And I just told funny stories. And I'm like, and I'm up there going, I'm not going to be on here for 8 minutes. I'm going to be on here for 18 minutes.
Right.
Too bad.
I've earned that.
And it was bizarre because my introduction was like, a couple of these little indie movies I had done that no one had ever heard.
They didn't even mention SNL.
But they knew, the audience knew.
Yeah,
but,
right.
And then after I got off, I go, hey, I need to do that. I need to be in that little bit of a jam. I need to just get up and be funny because we're funny with our friends. And I have, my friends are really funny. My family's funny. My brothers are really funny. And my childhood was trying to get a word in because no one nails it faster. I have two brothers that nail it, and then you're done, Watching sports with them or texting with them, it's just killer.
They've
stuff.
Got the line. They can.
So I don't have that. I always kind of like, my brothers are here. They're going to provide all the comedy,
Let's do this. I want to take a break, and then we'll get to we'll get a news break, and then we'll come back. Because I wanted to, it's interesting knowing your story and reading about it. Even the SNL audition and having to coming down from your station where you were waitressing, to come in and do that.
Was.
A lot of the opportunities you've had have been not unlike what you just explained on stage, where you're like, all right, I'll get up here and I'll wing it, and it works out for you. And then also the word confidence. because I can't think if anyone is on live television in such a pressure cooker that would be SNL, you would think that your confidence would be through the roof. For you to say, I'm not that confident to get up there is a startling to us in Chicago. So Nora Dunn, my guest, a former SNL cast member, actor, writer, comedian. She, of course, her one-woman show, Mythical Proportions, we'll talk about that as well. In studio tonight at the big table. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, Nora Dunn, the great comedian, writer, actor. She, of course, was an SNL cast member from 1985 to 1990. And she has been in several movies and continues to be. And she lives here in Chicago, which a lot of people probably don't know. Because you are continuing to work. You show up in movie after movie. People just think you're up in your Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. I do have a house
in the hills, right?
I have a house out there, but it's very small.
Why back? Why did you come back to Chicago?
I came back here in 2008. I never meant to be gone the whole time. And, you know, at one point, I remember I had to have a little tumor in my arm. I had to get it taken out, and I was upset. And I thought, well, I'm gonna walk into it's a restaurant with a bar. It's 4 o'clock. I'm gonna go in and have a drink. And the bartender just completely ignored me. There was no one else at the bar. And finally, he comes down and goes, "Can I help you?" I said, "I don't know. I have a tumor in my arm. Can you take it out?" The guy looked at me. I just walked out and go, "I'm not living here anymore." A bartender in Chicago would never say, "Can I help you?"
That's
how it is out there. It's like, what do you think I'm here for?
Yeah.
I want to have a drink. Ooh, shame on me. I better go home and make myself a spritzer. So I think that day I had been thinking about it. And I also had another friend who had died, and she was only in her 40s. And we were at this sort of memorial for her. And another friend of mine had said, "Wow, I just went to Chicago for the first time in my life. And oh, my God, it is fabulous."
You're like, "Yeah, I know, right?"
And they're going, "The bartenders." And then she goes, "I'm 50. The bartender's talking to me, flirting with me. We had the best food." And I went, "I'm going to go home." And I just came home because I can watch the Cubs out there. I can watch the Bears out there. But it's different when you're here and there's excitement and the whole city is on the same side. And it's...
Yeah. Is it difficult for you to have a career, a successful career in L.A. with their managers and their agents, everybody that's out there, and for you to be back here? I mean, I know you go back and forth, and that's all right. But I would just assume a lot of times the industry wants you as close as possible because, as you know, people are like, "I've got a meeting for you in 5 minutes,"
exactly.
Like that kind of thing. So how do you balance that?
I don't have a easy time with it. I do it. I'm not a good flyer, and I fly a lot. I fly with the dog. I do everything I can. And, you know, if I have a bad experience, I drove to L.A. for 2 years because I had a very bad experience where I thought, okay, we're dying. Plane just dropped out of the sky. Mm. It was just pandemonium, bags flying out. And I was like,
"That's it.
I'm not getting on a plane again." And I didn't, but I have to. So, you know, I do have a little house out there now, and I love it because I go there in the winter. But I do get a lot of flack from my manager and my agent. Like,
they want you there.
Our thing is like a day's notice sometimes. So I remember once here, he called me. It was 8 below 0. I had to leave that day. First, he'll tell me about the job. "It's pretty good money. Really good North. You're going to love this. They love you. They love you. They love everything you do. They say you're real. They're like, this is an offer. It's an offer." And I go, "Well, when does it start?" "It's an offer, Nora. It's a good offer. It's a great show. It's up there. And your brother's on the show." So I had to leave that day, 8 below 0. Pack my bags, you know, and it was funny because when I went out there, my brother was on this series as a regular, and when I got to the studio, I had worked at that studio plenty of times, and they go, "Oh, hello, Ms. Dunn. Yes, your parking spot will be right there on the..." I go, "Whoa, I guess they remember me here." So I go, and when I turn the corner, it was my brother's parking space, Kevin Dunn.
Did you take it?
Yeah, so I park there, and they go, "You go upstairs, Nora." I see my brother's name with a star on it and everything. "You're a guest. Go upstairs." So I'm up there, and I hear one of the PAs, and he's got a walk. He goes, "Someone has parked in Mr. Dunn's spot. He's on his way in the studio. Get that car out of his space." And they go, "Oh, can we have your keys, Nora? We found a better spot for you." And then I'm looking down there. My brother pulls up, and like a little minion comes over, and as soon as he gets out of the car, he's getting a latte. It was very funny.
That's great.
But, so I do go, and I've gotten better about, you know,
yeah. Hollywood is, people may not know this, but there is a lot of hurry up and wait, and there's a lot of hurry up and now, meaning people will work on a project forever, and then when they're ready to go, they don't care about people's time. You got to be there in 1 second. And again, but you prepared. I think of the story of you being a waitress in Chicago and Al Franken and some of the writers being in a hotel around the saying,
he
hey, if you, want, yeah, if you want to audition, come on over. Well, I'm on, you know, I'm working. Well, take 10 minutes.
I still had my apron with the pen marks on it. And he thought it was a hilarious joke. And I go, hey, I left my station. It's brunch. I can't do anything right now or I will lose my job. He goes, well, can we take a Polaroid? I go, yeah. He goes, you got a tape? And I go, well, we have a little cable show we do on cable access called Laugh Sandwich, which we did. And I made a tape and I got out to New York. And Al was great. And I had auditioned so many times. And the last time, I didn't have any money. And they put us in a hotel, and I remember Dennis Miller every day goes, does he crack open your mini bar? No, because we didn't know what they were picking up, and we were literally buying pretzels. He goes, you know, you get a hot pretzel, it feeds you like for an hour, too. You know, you're not going to be hungry. So we're eating pretzels, and finally that last day, I had it. Mm-hmm. I had been there for almost 3 weeks, and Al comes down and goes, well, everybody's upstairs waiting for you. And I go, I'm not coming upstairs. And I didn't say that. I said something else. I go, here's what I want. I want sandwich.
I want sandwich.
And I want a pack of cigarettes. That's what I want. And then I'll go upstairs. And his face turned white. And he went out. He got me a sandwich, a pack of cigarettes, and a Coke. I had my sandwich. I smoked a cigarette. I kept them waiting for like 40 minutes. I would never do that today. But I meant it. I meant it.
Wow.
And I went up there. I walked in the room, and it was full of all the honchos. Did my thing. Walked out. Al came out and he goes, that's great. And I go, I'm going home. He goes, no, I can tell you, you're hired. But it was
wow.
It was a shock to me. The whole thing was, happened very fast. It was a huge change for me because I was making $150 a week because I wanted to work at night. I was working at Taste Buds. And it was, you know, and I had decided to do that because I could get by on that.
Right.
And I went there, and I was making $3,500 a week, which was huge to me.
Yeah. You've talked a lot about your experience on SNL, especially with the 40-year. There was a lot of stuff about it. Everyone wanted to focus on you not doing the show when Andrew Dice Clay did it.
The one show.
Yeah, I know. What was the experience like? I get a picture from some of the stuff that I read that you loved it, and I get a picture that you didn't. And I would assume, and you've done a really good job of explaining it, as well as being one of the only female cast members with very little to no female writers. As we kind of unpack what's happening in Hollywood and this idea that roles for women are minimal and there's sexual harassment has run amok, when you think about that, I pulled from that the idea that, the whole concept of SNL is that writers will write for cast members. But as you mentioned, I forgot where I read that, where everyone started, every pitch started with a guy walks in a room, a guy does this, a guy does that.
I mean, I was really shocked because I wrote a lot of material when I was on the show too, and I wrote all the material for myself. So I couldn't understand why these guys were so freaked out they couldn't write for women. Granted, you know, a lot of the best stuff on Saturday Night Live has to do with the gift that comes to you from what's happening. So now they have the gift that keeps on giving, just bizarre
right, with Trump, yeah.
Stuff and that they can do. But then they bring on Alec Baldwin to do it. And a lot of the cast members, you know, those people are really talented. And having real people come on the show is very bizarre. We didn't have that. We made fun of those people. We satirized those people. They don't come on the show.
Right.
You know, I was just surprised because I remember the third show I did, I wasn't in anything. And then later on that year, I took a part in a movie because I was like, whatever. And Lauren didn't know it. I just had called him. I go, oh, I can't work this week because I'm in Miami and I have to shoot. And he's like, and then we go, you're fired if you don't come back. I go, I said, but I'm not really in the show.
Yeah,
I'm not
no
really
one writes for me.
I was being honest. I'm not really in the show. I got offered this part. Oh my God, I had to come back. You know, you have to be there for good nights. So eventually we got some women on the show because everything we did was called girl humor or girl that, you know. And so, but then everybody has their own story,
mm-hmm.
Men, women, anybody, because everybody had to compete, which is hard because, you know, oh, God, it's just so nice to do. Last season I did Two Broke Girls. I did two seasons of New Girl. Oh, my God. You come in, the material's there, it's fun, it's funny. Saturday Night Live, there's nothing. There's
nothing.
You
start from scratch,
You start from scratch every week, so.
That's a lot of stress on the human beings that work in that environment.
I pinched myself. I never took the job for granted. I loved working in that building. Oh, my God, I got to see every musical act I've ever wanted to see. I used to go downstairs to watch the sound check. I mean, my brother came out, one of my brothers, Brian, came out, and we're watching a sound check, and he turns, and Mick Jagger was just standing next to him, and my brother goes, "Hi, Mick." He goes, "Hello, bloke." I just couldn't believe it. We saw everybody.
Yeah.
And it almost became like, you know, yeah, we because every week there was a big famous person that was on the show, and so, I mean, everybody, it wasn't just me who was dissatisfied. Everybody had their own issues.
Right.
And you know, I think I just eventually I started to mellow out a little bit because I was just like, I don't want to do this.
Right.
I want to be in every sketch. But, you know, that was a tall order those days, you know.
Probably a stereotype that everybody who's on Saturday Night Live is an extrovert who was the person who was making people laugh in their living room, and they went on, they were standing, they want the spotlight. They want that light, that there is no fear. Part of its staying power is the fact that it is this, it plays to this human idea of, man, the lights are on, it's live, anything can happen, we're scared, but we're also excited when things go right. But that you can debunk that stereotype, that there is a lot of fear, there is a lot of rejection, there's a lot of confidence issues.
I think that the fear is really kind of what bonded the cast, and our cast, you know, we disastrous first year for me, and then Lorne reorganized and hired people who came out of sketch comedy and were comedians. That's when Dana came on board. When Dana came on board, I was shocked I hadn't seen him there before. But once he came on board, audience fell in love with him, his charm, his characters, all, you know, everything he did. And then the rest of us kind of rose up mm-hmm. with him. And at the end of that year, I remember no one ever said anything. But I know we're all going, I think we're kind of a hit. And then we became called the best cast since the original cast, and we had a lot of depth. You know, we had a great bench.
Right,
we had everything.
Everything, yeah.
And so there was a lot more camaraderie than what people think, like the backstage, backstabbing, all that. It wasn't necessarily like that. Everybody had their own issues, their own fears. Everybody wanted to springboard from this. I didn't necessarily think that way. I know Phil Hartman never thought that way. To him, that was the pinnacle. He had already done so much. When he was on Saturday Night Live, that was it for him.
Right.
And, you know, everybody I worked with was a good person. I mean, I remember when Mike Myers came on board, poor guy, because these people would come up. He wasn't introduced. And everybody's battling, and he didn't have an office. He would just be out in the hallway. I remember going, yeah, for 2 years, Nora Dunn called me Mark. But it was like that. It was like, we're a family. And everyone's vying to be, you know, not be the middle child. Everybody's vying to be the, you know, please Lorne. And, you know, the issue of having a famous host come on and what mm-hmm. do you say to them? It was like we always had to act like we were a happy family because there was always a guest at the house.
Everything, it's almost full circle in this interview as we wrap up, but it does harken back to your days in the living room with your dad and your brothers and the competition to be the one who gets the joke. And there's something that attracts you to that.
Yeah. Say something funny. That was a big deal in my family. If you're at the dining room table and you can't say something funny, don't say anything at all. Because that was a big thing. If you said something funny, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. All right.
Are you going to get back to the one-woman show?
I hope so. I mean, I've been working a lot.
That's great.
And I have to take off. It just takes so much time to do that. But I am doing something with another actress from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and we did it out in L.A. We're working on it, so hopefully we're going to bring it here. It is Liz Sweeney, just my character, and then she plays all these other things, and we're doing a lounge act, which I love.
Well, you're so good at it. That was, of course, there can't be an SNL exhibit without some Sweeney sisters. They should have the costumes. They should have a video. They should do whatever they can, because that was one of the best Saturday Night Lives ever seen. Nora Dunn, former cast member, 1985 to 1990. She also had her one-woman show, Mythical Proportions, and you can see her in movies that are not even out yet that are coming out soon. Nora, can't thank you enough for being my guest tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.